There it is. There it is. The signal for me to rise to attention and face the embarrassment for my awful predictions. I'm throwing myself on the mercy of the court, people. I apologize. I did preface everything yesterday, and I think even the day before, when I said that I have a history of making horrible picks in college basketball. I think I know what I'm talking about. I sound very convincing. But man, when it comes time to put up or shut up, I just keep talking and coming up short. My most famous quote, I don't even want to say it, but I gave a real graphic, disgusting depiction of how bad I thought the Pac-12 was going into this tournament. And guess what? 4-0 yesterday. Pac-12, 4-0. So I admit, I know some stuff. I know that I'm terrible at some stuff, too. And I have somebody in the studio with me today. The pistol is here, ready to fire away at me and just make me feel horrible about myself. Welcome to the show, Pistol.
Live and in your ears. I once went to the county fair where you shoot a water pistol in a clown's mouth, and I came home with 12 stuffies and a goldfish.
Wow. Yeah, he's very good with the pistol, people. If you haven't heard this before, Pistol is very good with that pistol.
Yeah, so I got a bone to pick with you, Slim. Mountain West. We both thought Mountain West was like behind the Big East and the ACC, but right there as a top conference. And I think we got three teams out yesterday in the Mountain West, and we got three teams alive playing today. Not looking so hot.
The way that they went out yesterday could be the worst thing going forward. I think my brother Dave texted me and said Colorado State had 11 points at halftime. Is that true?
Oh, that's brutal. they scored 44 for the game, so that's an ugly, ugly game. The point total in that is 56-44, so we're talking about 100 points in the whole game. Mountain West looks weak, but guess what? Today's our chance to parlay that into a big victory. Go all in, three teams, San Diego State, New Mexico with Eddie House's kid, and Utah State, all together. We can do this, Mountain West.
You think the Mountain West is going to come back and totally redeem themselves today?
They got to.
Why do they have to?
It's their top teams that are playing today.
Oh, goodness me. Is this how America is thinking right now? Is this because the Pistol I consider to be very good? He's one of my favorite sports talk show callers in the country. He's definitely one of the favorites on this show because we don't have that many. But the ones that we do have are high echelon. And just as a heads up, second segment today, Thomas Polk is coming on to talk about the Bruins loss. I have no notes in front of me. I have a story to tell you. I went to hear Mitty sing karaoke last night in a karaoke contest, a big one at Hampton Beach. I'm going to tell everybody, Mitty is like legit ridiculous singer, and we have to circulate some stuff on social media. He's that good. He sang in a band for years, big time. That like toured the country and stuff. And his singing, when I heard him last night, I was like, oh, dude, no, this guy is awesome. And I wanted just to throw that shout out to him because he loves the show. And Pistol, what do you think about what happened last night with the Bruins? Do you have any impact or any thoughts, impactful words about the Bruins' loss to the Rangers last night?
Well, I think Baker earlier this week on the show was talking how, you know, this game is a big game and it's going to show you that the Rangers are much, much better than the Bruins. And I think it was proven last night, 5-2 loss, Bruins go down hard.
So on one end, we had Baker, who came in to give a college basketball preview because he's one of our experts. He watches college basketball a ton. I know he knows all the players. Like, he knows so much about college hoops. And yet his predictions about college hoops and what was going to happen in the tournament so far have been not so great. I know he really liked Drake, and Drake goes down last night to Washington State from the Pac-12, who I thought's horrible. So I was really liking Drake. No, doesn't happen. But it turns out maybe Baker's not so great with the college basketball predictions, but very good with hockey predictions. I am going to hold true to my belief that the Bruins are going to do something special in the playoffs, and we got some momentum building here on the show. We got a new hockey insider. I will mention to Thomas here, but I've got somebody from Twitter that I found and talked with yesterday for the first time. He's calling into the show, I think, in segment 3. but we'll leave a little mystery to that. How was that for just kind of unveiling a new caller to the show, Pistol?
I mean, what a perfect time, right? Big game last night. Bruins go down. We got to find out if people believe in the Bruins like you do, Slim, or if they're going to be out early just like last year.
I called 98.5 last night, the Sports Hub, on the way home from the karaoke competition with Mitty. I called and I got on Joe Murray's show. And I started out, and I taped some of it afterwards. I taped a part that I want to play, my feedback on, from a video here on the way home. But I said, it pains me to be so much smarter than all of the people that are calling your show right now. And I'm going to kind of lump you in with it too, Joe. What are you talking about with the Bruins? Like, everybody was panicking. Everybody last night called, oh, if we play the Rangers in the playoffs, they're going to beat us 4-0. There's no chance we're going to even win a game. And I said to Joe Murray, like, you didn't even push back on that guy. You got this psycho calling saying that the Rangers are that much better. They barely beat us last night. The first two goals the Rangers got, we handed them the puck. Like, we literally, like, here you go. You take it. I don't want it. Let me throw it right in front of our net so you can have it. And then they scored on goals that Swayman should have saved, but he didn't. He's struggling. Okay, let's stay with the college basketball. Don't get me fired up about the Bruins, Pistol.
There's a lot of... Swayman had one right through the five hole, right, for the first goal. Like, that's painful. So Swayman is not looking good, and I think you were calling for him for the playoff goalie, right?
I definitely... Well, right now, it's still up for debate. I'm a performance-based individual. I look at how things are going, and right now, listen, Swayman gave up 5 goals, I think, in both of his last 2 games. And then he comes out last night. I thought he played great in the first period. We're up 1-0. Like, this is why I don't understand why Bruins fans are getting upset. We're up 1-0. We were beating the team. And then they just wore us down because of some bad passing in our own defensive end, which has been a problem in the past. So we're going to revisit this with Thomas and with my mystery new addition to the show in segment 3. College basketball, keep me focused there. Oh, didn't you have another topic you wanted to... You said you had some things you wanted to get off your chest with me about a caller from the other day, the softball caller from St. Anselm's, right?
Yeah, so Slim, you're just handing money away. That was $100 to the softball girl at first base. She's got to earn that money. So I think, well, you got to have me at shortstop. You got to have me firing that girl some balls from shortstop. And we got to see that she can field them, right? Because you're not just handing $100, right? It's like, she's got to feel it. Like, can she scoop it? Can she... My throw is terrible, but it's hard. And so can she reach up high? Does she have some range to field these balls? Like, every catch she makes, $10, all right? Let me throw her 10 of them.
You're right, because I did just kind of hand her, for people that don't know, a player from St. Anselm's softball team, college that's based out of the area here, Manchester, right? And she says, hey, we're doing a drive to raise some funds for the team and supplies and stuff like that. They spend a lot of money to travel and all this stuff on the team. So a coach needed to raise some cash that day. I said, okay, cool. Local sports team, Sports Machine with Slim, we're going to donate $100 to your cause. But you're right. She didn't tell me, like, she could be riding the bench and just making up that she's even on the team. I probably should have pressed things a little further.
Yeah, I'd like, let's make them earn it next time, right? Like, we get somebody out there at shortstop firing her a few balls, and she gets $10 for every one of them she catches. That's how we'll do it next time.
Okay, there you go. You got my brain a spinning here. You're right. I need to stop just handing cash to people. I need to put these people to the test.
That's right. Make them earn it, Slim. Make them earn it.
Well, what are we going to earn today for college basketball? Because there's a full day of action, and me and the Pistol are going to be hanging out this afternoon and this evening. Maybe. Well, maybe we'll see how long it goes, but depends how many winners we come up with and want to talk to each other about. Or maybe we'll just stop hanging out because we want to make fun of each other and tell each other how bad they are with our picks.
Hey, let's jump on. I want to talk NC State, if you don't mind, for a
me
second.
Me too.
Like, I am hot on this team,
oh,
man. Like,
no, this is a horrible thing for me to hear right now.
Did you see the big boy Burns that they have in the
Love
middle
him.
That they just feed him the ball? He's humongous. He throws guys out of the way, and he can make anything with left or right hand. The guy is huge. But the real player on that team, I think, is Diarra. Diarra is a rebounding machine.
I called my brother Dan this morning and said, this guy is an NBA rebounder today.
If you want Dennis Rodman on your team, Diarra looks like he could possibly be that. Now, the only thing is the team plays him he's on the court all the time. And the guy looks gassed every once in a while, like he needs a break. But he has unbelievable energy. He finishes. He hit a 3 yesterday, which I didn't expect. I mean, that team goes inside big time because Middlebrooks was awesome in that game, too.
He's strong.
I think he had more than 20 points. And you're like, whoa, what's this? How's this white guy scoring all these points?
The backup six man is a big dude who comes off the bench for North Carolina State. They got two big guys who start. The Burns he's talking about, who must weigh 300. This guy, but he's huge. Got touch. And he doesn't seem to really wear down that much in these games, even though he's running up and down.
Yeah, I mean, this team, the only problem they have is that I don't know about their guard player.
Right? The guy is one of the best five players in the tournament.
Yeah?
This point guard, absolutely.
I mean, he gets the ball to the big boys, and that's working. I didn't see him shoot any threes. The team overall was 5 for 13, right? So, what happens if you get a team like Oakland that comes in and they have a guy that goes 10 for 20 from three-point range, right? Then you're in trouble.
Well, here's the issue, and I said this to my brother Dave on the ride in with North Carolina State, is they won five games in a row to win the ACC tournament. Underdog. Now they come into last night's game as an 11 seed. Underdog, they win. Now the next game, they're going to be coming in as the favorite. And this is the one. Don't stub your toe, NC State. Stay focused at the task at hand and take down the Oakland team who beat Kentucky last night. We're going to talk about that stuff in segment four. We're coming back talking Bruins here on the Sports Machine with Slim, WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, nhtalkradio.com. We're back. We're ready to roll with some Bruins talk. I'm angry at the fans and just how willing we are to pack it in. I called 98.5 on the way home last night, and just listening to these fans, they're just so not real fans, really. That this game last night was so close. The Bruins didn't play great. I will say we need to make a couple of changes. We need to make a couple of changes. Thomas Poke, I was hoping, was going to call the show, and word has it, he's on the line right now. Thomas, how are you feeling this Friday morning?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So I hear from your voice, your tone, you don't carry over the losses the same way that a degenerate like me does, huh?
Well, I mean, I'm looking at it. There's 82 games, right? We're going to have a breakdown every time they lose. It's going to be a long year.
This is what I was dealing with last night on the radio. Exactly. It was Nervous Breakdown City, so I reverse Nervous Breakdown them and started yelling at the radio show host on the air last night, and my drive was like 11 o'clock as I was coming home, and I really felt good about it, Thomas, because the Bruins were up 1-0, okay? And then we gave the Rangers two goals. I will say the turnover by Lindholm specifically causes me concern, because that guy was such a stud regular season last year, and then in the playoffs he wasn't good, and that pass just can't happen, what he did last night.
Yeah, I mean, both those goals by Sammy Panarin from the Rangers, there was a little luck involved. Yeah, on the first one, you know, it was a complete turnover. There's nobody on him. Shattenkirk and Lindholm can easily make a play and get it out of the zone, but again, everybody makes mistakes. You'd hope that they doesn't happen that often, but overall, right, there was 19 giveaways yesterday, and that obviously was one of them. And then it happened with a little bit of luck, because both those goals weren't, you know, I mean, if I remember correctly, went off of Jake DeBrusk's hands when he tried to pass it across, and then went five-hole on Swayman. So it wasn't like one of those beautiful goals. Hey, things happen. Obviously, the Rangers worked hard for it and got a little luck on their side, but overall, it's the 19 giveaways that kind of concerning there. Anytime you give up five goals, you're going to have a hard time winning a hockey game.
Well, two of the goals were at the very end, right? It was 3-2, and then they scored an empty netter. So it's like, hey, whatever. Yeah, that's why I just look at the core of the gut and the guts of the game. We're right with them. But I will say, Thomas, I was a little concerned. Like looking at the Rangers' style of play and their forechecking is excellent. They're coming down on us. And other teams that we play don't do that same level of quality contesting against us. So we're able to clear the zone easier. And one thing in particular I noticed is we're trying to advance the puck up along the boards. Like a pass that would go down ice off the boards is like a backboard shot, almost deflection, so that it comes out to you. The Rangers are pinching on that. So the Bruins do have to change the way that they play, I feel, to beat the Rangers in the playoffs. We're going to have to tighten up. That's what I see with my untrained eye. Do you think I'm on track with that thought?
No, I mean, 100%. I mean, the Rangers are, what, 1 point behind us with one game less played, so they are one of the top teams in the league, too. And obviously the way that they play and their style of play, the better teams get, the more, you know, adjustments you have to make along the way. It's not going to get easier against the good teams. It's definitely not going to get easier once the playoffs start happening. And a big part yesterday, obviously, like you said, it was a close game and then you were in there. When your fourth line supposedly rested with the Justin Brazeau comes out and ties the game for you.
Yep.
You just can't get out there. And coaches talk about it all the time, right? The next shift after goal is a big one. Well, you can't give up a goal right in that shift, whatever way you want to look at it. Even though it was a beautiful goal there by Adam Fox to short side, but overall, it's like, dude, you just worked so hard to get it tied up. You can't give it right back. I believe it was 40 seconds later.
And Thomas, I think, and I was out watching karaoke singing last night for a bit, so I watched a fair amount of the game dedicated. I just stood in front of the TV like a psychopath by myself while the whole rest of the bar, which had like 400 people in it, cheering on their friends for karaoke, were in another area. There was a moment, wasn't there, Thomas, where we had just killed off a penalty, and then... like just within 30 to 60 seconds after that, I thought the Rangers scored. Or maybe it was when we scored. Maybe that's what you're talking about there. There was one point where deflection, like you said, this just can't happen, dude. You can't immediately lose all that momentum we had built up.
Yeah, it was in the third period. Like the fourth line, well, Marchand was on it, but it was Boqvist and Justin Brazeau, and they tied it up. And then literally 40 seconds later, Adam Fox went down and scored. So it's like... everybody's hyped up. The building is loud. Everybody's going. You tied it up. Like, let's get something going. And then the next shift's going the other way. They score a goal. I mean, it happens. It's hockey. Like, the only reason we see goals is because players make mistakes. And, you know, again, Adam Fox, one of the best defensemen in the league. And it was their first line scoring the goal. But still, you know, it's one of those things where you just got to, that can't happen. Going into the playoffs, those are the games, the momentum changing events. And, you want to win those, you gotta figure out a way to not give them up.
I love to hear that from you, Thomas. You're actually sounding just a little bit testy when you say that can't happen. You have been my health insurance salesman now for 5 years. I think you are awesome at your job. I would recommend you fully 100% to anybody out there, any business, any individual who needs health insurance. You reach out to us here at the Sports Machine with Slim. Find us on the social media stuff and find Thomas because he will answer your questions. But Thomas has a very level head. I have the pistol in studio with me today, Thomas. I think he wanted to try and ask you a couple of questions. Go ahead. I'd like to learn more about Thomas Pistol. Can you help with this?
Yeah. So, Thomas, I have been dying to talk to you, and that's because you and Slim have a very agreeable relationship, you know, 100%. Well, I'm like 50% with Slim, not so 100%. And lately, he got me very upset with one of his takes, and I want to know from you if you have the same take as him. About 2 weeks ago, he's talking about toughness of hoop players and the toughness of the Celtics, and he ends up making this comment, you know, hockey players, the Bruins, they're tough. Hoop players, They're soft. And it ticks me off when I hear that because I was a hoop player.
It's true.
So I'm coming at you and I'm like, come on, Thomas, you got to tell me. There's at least some hooper, these big men who come from the hood, who could take on a hockey player, right?
Well, what toughness are we talking about here? You're just like straight up talking about fighting? Because at that point, some of those guys are way bigger in that regard, but... I think Slim was more talking about toughness and, you know, some of those guys get bumped over a little and, you know, they're out for a week or two. They get hit in the face and they're leaving the court. That doesn't happen in hockey that much.
Yeah, I was that way. I was thinking bar fight. You know, you throw a couple guys in the bar and you're like...
Yeah, in that regard, I mean, I have to say, look, that's just a size advantage, right? Some of those guys are, what, 6'10", 6'11"?
There we go, Slim. Thomas is on my side.
Like, I'm not even, you know, that's just normal. Obviously, that's a different game, basketball. It would be kind of fun to see them chug it around every now and then, but, you know, it's not doable. Like, it's not, you know, obviously they're in street clothes, like gym clothes, like in shoes. Like, it'd almost be like a street fight if they do it during basketball games, so nobody wants to see that.
Marchand,
well, maybe people do, I don't know.
Marchand would crush those guys, any kind of fight, I don't care what it is. I'm more talking about just general toughness, desire to win, not being a spoiled brat. Like you said, Thomas, you get hit a little bit, you're down, like, you know, like the world is ending, and then you're up 5 seconds later, and you know, you're perfectly fine, Pistol.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what I heard from Thomas is that some of these basketball players are a little tougher than you think. Maybe like that guy Diarra last night at NC State, right?
He's a tough guy. Thomas, you watch any college basketball or no?
I don't. It's just, unfortunately, there's not enough time today to watch the hockey and the basketball and then do all the sports with my own kids. So, other than hockey and a little bit of golf, I don't really watch much TV.
I tried to set you up there because I thought you were going to say, no, I don't watch any basketball because those guys are all too soft.
Yeah.
The Bruins.
I wasn't taking that bait.
I know. You don't do it. You don't ever take my bait. This is an ongoing theme here on the Sports Machine with Slim People. I try to get Thomas to say something negative about people. He just refuses to do it. But it's like, I think it's not even a conscious thing anymore. His brain just has some sort of a switch where he can only be nice to others. Are you like this all the time in like your day-to-day life? Do you ever get upset like at people when you're driving, some of these horrible drivers that are out on the roads?
Oh, when I'm by myself, all the time. All the time.
I explode. He's a total, he's a total
it is what it is. I gotta calm it down a little bit when my kids and my wife are in the car because she's looking at me all the time going like, they can't hear you, but I can hear you. So, and I get it. So it is what it is.
Thomas, what we need to do is set up the recording on your cell phone when you're by yourself driving. And when we got to get one of those recordings and play it back in studio.
Yeah, we're going to use those for one of your commercials, dude. That's what we got to do. We got to get Thomas's real life commercial on the airwaves here, WKXL Radio. Thank you for calling the show today, Thomas.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Right on. We'll talk to you again next week. This is the Sports Machine with Slim. We're getting ready to head into the second half of the show today. I got my next caller lined up. Let's do this. More Bruins detailed discussion when we come back from this commercial. The Sports Machine with Slim, WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, and 101.9 FM are the radio dials to reach us. Did he get belligerent? Yes. Yeah, we were not talking about Thomas. Thomas did not get belligerent here. We were talking about somebody else. Right now, I'm going to tell you something. I wonder if Thomas would take offense to this. I'm going to welcome in a challenger to his throne as our Boston Bruins expert caller. I've got a guy here that I think you're all going to like. Welcome to the show, Sully. Is that what I should refer to you? It's a cool name. Is that what we should refer to you here on the show as?
I think it's very fitting. I think Sully is the perfect name. Everybody who knows me calls me Sully. It's kind of my moniker at this point, but I'm ready to talk some bees.
You're the man, Sully. So everybody knows I connected with this dude. I've never met Sully. I talked to him for the first time yesterday. He's the host of a Bruins podcast. It's called At Bruins Something, and you can pump that as much as you want on the airwaves here. And I have not listened to it. I'll just tell you, Sully, I have not listened to it yet, but I am going to because I love the back and forth you and me had about the Bruins. You know your stuff.
Awesome, man. Yeah, thank you. And, yeah, it's just to pump it a little bit really quick, we're this brand new company, this media company called Primetime Productions. We're based out of Massachusetts. We have podcasts covering all leagues, all the major leagues across all sports, MLB, NHL, NBA, and even MMA as well. And we have a golf podcast coming on too shortly. But mainly my job is mainly Bruins. We got a big run coming up. This team surprised a lot of people, and there's still a lot of people out here who don't believe in this team.
I don't get it, Sully. That's what the back and forth. We're on the same page. Did the results of the game last night, though, impact your thinking at all? It has not for me.
It hasn't affected me. I do wish, though, last night it was a big statement game. You know, you're 0-2 against the Rangers going into the Garden last night. They're one of your main competitors in the Eastern Conference, possibly, you know, a big playoff matchup with the Rangers. And to go in there and kind of put that kind of effort out, it was kind of disheartening. The crowd was quiet. The energy levels were low. You got chip-ins again from a guy like Justin Brazeau, who's your fourth line winger. You know, he's doing his job, crashing the net, crashing the crease and producing, but you need to have in these big games, you need to have these big time players show up, and Pasta was kind of invisible last night, and that's not a shot at Pasta. I mean, he had a hat trick last game, but you need to see them in their big performers perform in these big games, especially when you're at home.
Sully, you nailed that, man, because I've been telling everybody, I was at a karaoke place last night. I didn't get to fully focus on the Bruins, but when I did, Pastrnak was on the ice a ton, and it did make me think of, like, past previous runs where he kind of gets, like you said, disappeared, but it's because he just is bowing down to the physicality, and the Rangers we knew going into the game were going to be physical, and that's why I talked about yesterday on the show, like, dude, I think we have to fight. Like, I think you need to come out and fight and just have that physical mentality, but it looked to me the Bruins tried to be too cute, and the skill set for the Bruins has been getting them through up to this point, but now we're probably going to have to alter that if we play the Rangers in the playoffs.
Yeah, you're going to have to start looking, and kudos to the depth players last night. Like I mentioned, guys like Brazo, I mean, he, just to throw an old MLB reference out there, the guy is kind of built like Bartolo Colon. And when he's running down the wall and he's winning puck battles, I mean, that's what you need to do against these high-skilled teams like the Rangers. So the bottom, you know, the bottom depth players did their jobs last night. But again, that those skill guys, the Marchands, the Pastrnaks, you could even throw Zacha's name out there. They weren't doing their job. They were pinched. They weren't really able to get any high-scoring, you know, high-danger scoring chances.
Right.
And in the end, it really kind of messed up the mojo of the team, and you could see it. You can't, going into the playoffs, you can't rely solely on the depth. You need the performances out of these top guys, and, you know, the Rangers are one of your top competitors in the East, and I didn't like the energy from last night.
It's something that can be fixed, is my opinion here, Sully, because when we were talking yesterday, I was saying, man, our cross-ice passing, we're just so much better than other years. The skill that's on exhibit every single night from this Bruins team. But last night, if you think about, like, the Brazos goal, you mentioned, like, that was just a dirty get in front of the net, hold your position, the puck gets through, you're putting it in. That's more, I think, what you're going to have to do, like, for playoff goals. On the other side, you can't just be turning the puck over in your own end right in front of the goalie.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing, too, with the goaltending. Now there's this big debate about, you know, who are we going to start in game one of the playoffs? Is it going to be Omark or Swayman? And I wanted to give a quick shout-out to one of the guys who works with me at Primetime Productions, Tommy Bennett. He put out this statistic about Jeremy Swayman in this funk that he's been in his last three games.
Yeah.
Last three games, he's allowed 12 goals. He's got a .405 goals against average, an .848 save percentage, and a minus .536 goals saved above expected. So for the people who are clamoring about, you know, trade Allmark, you can only roll with one of these guys in the playoffs. I mean, with this team, historically, that's true. You normally go with one guy during the playoffs. But with this team and the way that Swayman and Allmark are playing, if one of these guys has, you know, one of these streaks where they're not playing well, you know you have this guy on the opposite side sitting on the bench who can come in at any time and pick up the slack. And right now, if playoffs started today, I would probably go game one, Linus Allmark.
Of course. Like, this is just, these people are human beings. You're going to go through stretches in your career where sometimes you're feeling great, sometimes you're not feeling great. If you're watching Swayman over the last few games, he hasn't been good. But I still think he's a great goalie. Is it panic time, or is it time just to use a little common sense, sports talk radio callers out there? Like, this is why I say we got the best callers. Like, this dude, Sully, if you're listening for the first time, he's good, right? There's no panic. Let's not freak out. Let's just start Linus Allmark in game one. I would still give Swayman game two. I don't care what the results are for game one, Sully. If the playoffs started today, would you be of that same mindset as me?
Yeah, I'm with you. You saw it last playoff run. You know, they were going with the 1A, 1B system throughout the entire season, and they had the best regular season in NHL history. And you look at the team now, definitely not time to panic. If there was a time to panic, it was post-All-Star break where they were playing .500 yes. hockey for maybe 10 to 15 games. But, I mean, look at the standings right now. Even with the loss last night, the team is still first place in the entire NHL. First place in the Eastern Conference. The Rangers are right behind them now at 96 points, but the Bruins have 97 points. They're 41-15-15 with 11 games left in the regular season. The only thing that I'm worried about and that I'm keeping my eye on is who's going to be our first round matchup in the playoffs. Is it going to be, you know, is it going to be a team Detroit? Is it going to be Tampa? Is it potentially going to be Washington? that's the thing that I'm looking at right now. And if you remember from earlier in the season, Detroit kind of has your number. Detroit plays you really, really well. So you want to position yourself in the standings in a place where you are having a favorable first-round matchup. You don't want a repeat of last season.
I don't care who we play. I'll fight anyone, anywhere, anytime, Sully. I am not trying to duck any first-round opponents, just so you know here. I love this Bruins team. We're going to respond. If we were going to struggle, I wanted it to be post-All-Star break. Last year we steamrolled through everything. We were incredible. We never had down periods. You need to have a break every now and then. There's a reason why the NBA players like take seasons off and then show up for the playoffs sometimes. You can't bring that every single night. So we went through those doldrums. They're behind us. We won 3 games prior to last night. Everybody, relax, dude.
Yeah,
let's see how the Bruins respond.
Everybody can take a little bit of a chill pill. Everything's fine. You know, you lose games. It's what happens during the regular season. And kind of like we were discussing last night as well, I think last season, the way that you just mentioned, the team steamrolled through the entire 82-game, you know, regular season schedule. They steamrolled through it. They had the most points in NHL history. I think last year spoiled a lot of people and really manipulated their minds into what to expect for a regular season. Like, we didn't have a losing streak all year last year.
Exactly.
So when you have one this season, it's like all of a sudden the roof's falling, everything is coming apart. Like, no, it's what happens in an 82-game schedule. And I would rather have a losing streak, like you said, in you know, the middle of the season, the last three quarters of the season, rather than going into the playoffs. Because you want to be riding a hot hand going into playoffs, a.k.a. Florida last year. But you know, it's just... there's no reason to panic. This is going to happen. If anything, they'll just take it, learn from it, and Montgomery is going to show them the way.
So let me ask you, Sully. I got an in-studio guest with me. I think he likes what you're saying. I think he wants you to be involved more with the show. Pistol, what would you say to Sully right now?
Sully, you want to stay on for another segment?
Absolutely.
he wants. I do have basketball calls I have to get to. Sully, you are the man, and I'm just going to tell you, I want you on. Like, if you'd call every day, you have an open position here. It's awaiting you if you want it any day to call into the show. You're rock solid, dude.
Awesome, man. Well, I really appreciate it, and I just wanted to give another quick shout out. The Primetime Productions network that we're running right now, you know, none of this would be happening without them. I know socially, if people are on Twitter, you can follow them at Primetime Prods. We have 2 Bruins shows, Only Bruins at Only Bruins Pod, the podcast that I'm on with one of my best friends, Nick Melanson. You can find us on Spotify, Apple, any listening platform, Something's Bruin Podcast. Our Twitter is at Bruin Something. Personally, I'm on Twitter at _MikeSullivan. I'm always talking Bruins. That's the only way I've always utilized that social media platform. It's just talking Bruin talking, throwing my takes out there into, you know, whoever wants to read it and see my nonsense. But
it's good nonsense.
I appreciate you guys having me on, and I look forward to calling in again.
Right on, Sully. We're on the same page. We're going to help each other out, my man. Have a good day. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you next week. That's how you do it here on the Sports Machine with Slim. We're coming back to talk basketball. I got a couple people that want to get on the lines. We're jam-packed with callers today, people. WKXL, you can hear us on 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, New Hampshire, talkradio.com. Look at that. It's a day like this. I wish we didn't even have any commercials. I wish we could just steamroll right through one to the next. Because the Bruins, you can't just not talk about the Bruins. I love that team. So we spent, 30 minutes on them today. Because that's a disheartening loss last night. Guess what? We're here to pick you up today. Dust yourself off. You're going to be fine. Let's talk some college hoops. We got a caller on the line. Is it one of our experts?
It is. It is. Well, I'm not an expert anymore. Yesterday was a rough day. Well, wasn't a terrible day betting-wise, but it was a terrible day with my Kentucky team going down, and they're done for the tournament.
Yeah, you did pick them. This is Baker. For everybody that knows, we did a special preview episode for the NCAA tournament. We gave people advice for their brackets, and I think, Baker, you picked Kentucky to go to the Final Four. Did you pick them to win it all?
No, I didn't pick them to win it all, but I did have them going to the Final Four. I might have even thrown it out. I'm not a huge bracket guy. Like, I fill out a bracket just to get into it. I more look at every game as more like the betting perspectives of it. But, I mean, obviously you take a stand on a team, and I really thought they would play better. But you could see within a few minutes of that game that it was going to be a close game. I was just hoping they could pull it out. Because a team like that, a younger team, I feel like if they win that game, they, you know, get the jitters out, and then they could go on a little run. The talent is there. Just as David said before, Coach Calipari is just not very good. So.
Yeah, my brother Dave, I talked to him this morning, Baker, and boy, he had a great scathing review of Calipari and this guy, how he's just been coasting along. Like, that team had talent. They didn't get better as the year went on. They just got softer.
Yeah, I mean, what happens in college a lot of times is, you can't watch every single game. Like, I watch every Celtics game. I didn't watch every Kentucky game. I'm not going to say that I did. But I caught the game against Auburn in Auburn, hostile crowd, and his team, Calipari's team, played. They played defense. And so I'm like, they can ramp it up on something like that. Then I figured the offense would come. But that Oakland team played a zone. And Calipari just didn't have them prepared, and his substitutions were terrible. He has a lot of guys that can play, and no one got in a rhythm. But, you know, it is what it is. They're gone, and I forget I call in so I could take my lumps on it. I did have a decent day betting-wise.
A lot of underdogs. This is the pistol, Baker, and you definitely deserve some lumps for that pick. That was terrible to the Final Four.
Yeah.
But I will say that the one thing you did say is, hey, it's a young team, and it's a flip of the coin when you're rolling with a young team, right? If the coin lands on heads, they're in the Final Four. If it lands on tails, you're kind of out in the first round, and that's what happened to Kentucky. I thought the end of that game, Kentucky had a nice, they had like six threes in a row at the very end of the game, and Oakland just did a great job holding them off, like so well coached. They hit their free throws, they basically ran the shot clock all the way down to the last 6 seconds,
and then
they hit a three one time, their big man hit a fadeaway jump shot, right? Like, they really just played unbelievable in a close game, and you know, if you're not well coached, right, you fall apart in that game. But they had a guy who went 10 for 20 for three, so
that helps.
Yeah, no question. I think a team like that too, like, you look at them and the way that the Oakland played, like, if you really think about it, like, you're going to get it's still, yeah, it's Kentucky, and you have some fear of Kentucky because they're, you know, a blue blood and all that, but they're playing you with freshmen. So, like, if you're an older guy on that Oakland team, like, are you really scared of the jersey, or are you looking through the jersey and you just see a young kid that you're playing against, and you're like, yeah, this kid's got a lot of talent, but he's still a young kid, and he might not be as physical as me, and I can push him around a little bit. And I think that's kind of what happens in some of these games, but because they didn't play afraid, it was Kentucky that played afraid, you know?
Let me give you a chance to totally redeem yourself. Me and the Pistol are in studio today comparing notes. I texted my brother Dave this morning. I think NC State can win it all. The Pistol said we both love some NC State. How does NC State do in the next round when they're actually going to be the favorite against that Oakland team?
I mean, I think NC State wins that game pretty easily. I just think that, you know, after the way that they shot the ball, I don't think that kid can possibly shoot that way again. And I also think if you watch that game, the big guy on their team, he's not even that big, but he scored in the low post a decent amount to, like, give them some balance. He ain't going to be able to do that against NC State, because NC State has that wide body down there. So, like, I imagine they'll just put him on him, and just, unless he gets him in foul trouble, like, he's a bigger guy that's not going to jump. You know, he's just going to stand straight up and just be big down there. So I think he should be able to handle that guy.
Yeah, I kind of like sicking Diarra on that guy, on the big man,
yeah,
Townsend, and just have him guard him. And then the other thing with Oakland is they went into that 1-3-1 zone, which is just a really awkward, strange zone with guys in weird places. And I felt like Kentucky had no idea what to do against
them. Nope. Yeah, they had no idea how to attack. I mean, they had a little stretch where they were, like, pounded it inside and they were getting easy shots, but they were missing, like, easy shots, you know? And I thought that they would be able to bury them inside like that. But I knew the zone would give them a hard time, and Oakland's played that zone all year, so they know how to play it. You know,
yeah,
it's not
yeah, that was evident.
But it shouldn't have been a surprise. It shouldn't have been a surprise to them. But
yeah, well, that's Kyle
I felt bad for the little white guy on Reed Sheppard. That he played terrible, and he's been great all season long. 52% on threes. All year long.
Didn't Dave say he? Dave said he only had like two shots or something in the first half. Is that right?
Yeah, he finished the game. Like he only took like four or five shots. He was a shell of himself. And I thought like his dad was a huge like hero for Kentucky back in the day and in the tournament. And I just thought I'm like, all right, this guy's not afraid. Like he reminded me of like a little Peyton Pritchard or something. And he played afraid, and it was so strange to see, but. As soon as I saw that, I'm like, they're in trouble. He wasn't even looking to shoot.
The one thing I want to say is, in college basketball, you got great coaches or you have great recruiters who are mistaken as great coaches.
There's a lot of horrible coaches out there, people. I'm telling you, like the listeners, all of us, this is why we're doing the Sports Machine with Slim, because we know more. I'm telling you right now, we're better coaches than the majority of coaches in college basketball. I am not kidding when I say that. I am superior today to more than 50% of the coaches that are out there coaching these teams. These guys can't even do math, some of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think the real coaches are Shaka Smart, Dan Hurley, Tom Izzo, and Mark Few. I think those guys are real legit coaches who can legitimately coach. And then you get faked out by guys like Roy Williams, Boeheim, Sean Miller, and Calipari. Everybody says that they're great, but they're not. They're great recruiters, not great coaches.
Right. Well, you also looked at Calipari's staff. He has all his old guys from UMass that he had back when he was in UMass. Bruiser Flint. The guy that was at Auburn, I don't even know his name. A bunch of guys that have failed at every school they've been to, they've failed. And they're just good recruiters, you know? Or they're probably just good money guys. I mean, I know Bruiser Flint has that reputation, you know? So who knows?
Nowadays it's legal, though, Baker. The money can talk in the open here when it comes to
recruiting. Right, which should like, kind of bring it, you know, it should kind of even the playing field with at least the schools that have some money, you know? But.
It's happening out there. I see a lot of parity in this college basketball season. I mean, I do like UConn. I like Marquette. I think that's an easy theme we haven't mentioned here so far is, you know, this conference, including Creighton.
Big East, baby.
The Big East is legit. And I think the other message I'm getting is the ACC is very strong. Come on, North Carolina land-based team. North Carolina State comes out. Today we do have Clemson playing as a number 6 seed, and I think the Pistol over here loves him some New Mexico. What's your take on that as we wind down the show today? We only got a minute or two left, Baker.
I know this is against Baker and against what MBD were saying the other day, but I'm all in on the Mountain West today.
All right, well, good luck with that. They didn't respond very well yesterday, but, you know, there's a lot of time. How about
it's
we
a
should
new
give the Pac-12,
day.
The Pac-12 a little love, too, boys.
I said they were horrible. I said they were atrocious. They smelled like a week-old fart in a small, confined room that, like, just had gotten worse through time, and they came out. I think they're 4-0 because the Colorado won the initial play-in game, right? So the Pac-12 is making me look real dumb, and I host the show. What does that say for the show, Baker?
Yeah, I don't know. Rangers.
That's why you're the host and not the expert.
I did say Rangers. Give me a little love.
We gave you props here. The Pistol did. He fired out to you saying you were right on with that pick on the Rangers.
Yeah, you called Rangers and Florida over Boston, and you nailed it. I mean, finally someone talking some sense here.
That was regular season. It doesn't matter. I need you to come through, Baker, when it's the money's on the line in the playoffs and the tournaments here. Regular season victories count nothing. So you be prepared next week.
I'll be prepared.
Bam. You heard it here,
all right,
everybody.
Boys.
Go get him, Baker. Have a good weekend. The Pistol is here.
You guys.
Last
good luck,
word.
Everyone.
Last word, Pistol.
Let's go rock it, Mountain West.
Good luck, everybody. WKXL Radio, that's the place to be. 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. We are Superior Sports Talk Radio here. NHTalkRadio.com is where you can find us.